preached this morning on the power of prayer. And prayer is powerful. And it is James chapter 5 was a multi-recipe. Spoke to every part of the church, us as individuals, those in here that are leaders in the church, as well as the church itself. And what a privilege to be a part of a New Testament church and to understand why that's important. And it goes far beyond what most churches have ended up being today, which is just a social gathering of people. And we are the living church, the body of the Lord right. Jesus Christ. He is our head, and he saved us with his blood, and it's right. precious.
Amen.
You know, there are only three organizations or institutions defined or ordained by God. The home was the first institution, the government, and the church. And it is a privilege to be a part of a New Testament church. So tonight, as we continue our 2020 kickoff for our vision being the power of prayer, I want to tonight discuss or try to, in the best I can, I feel entirely unworthy as myself. I'm not the expert, but the Word of God gives us a blueprint and a roadmap for understanding how to have the power in prayer. What is the secret to power in prayer? What a blessing if we'll go to John chapter 15. We are exhorted by the Lord Jesus Christ to abide in Him. To abide in Him. In verse 1, He says, Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, and this is where I want you to focus, the next few verses, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, look at this next phrase, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Let me read verse 7 again if you missed it. If ye abide in me, Jesus says, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. What a blessing to be saved. What a blessing to be joined to Christ in salvation, to be joint heirs with Jesus Christ through the adoption of sons through the Lord Jesus. If you go, though, to John chapter 8, just a few chapters to the left, look at verses 31 and 32. There's something that goes beyond just simple salvation. And salvation is forever settled in heaven by the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is obtained through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing that you and I can do except ask for that salvation to have it. There's nothing that you and I did. If you're not saved today, what Christ does is He invites you to come to Him for rest. He invites you to come to Him, to turn from your way, from your path, and turn to Christ, putting your faith in Him alone for salvation, and be joined, to be created as a, or to be fashioned as a new creature, to be given, to be made a child of God. As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the what? Sons of God. Are you a child of God today? You say, well, isn't everyone a child of God? We're all a creation of God, but you can only be a child of God through salvation. And you need to be saved, young or old. You need to know that if you died today, heaven would be your home. And when you are saved, you are joined together with Christ. You are made one in Him. And what a blessing. But you can go beyond that. And there's a deeper walk that Jesus wants us to have with Him after we're saved. And that should be our heart's desire. In John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, Jesus says to the Jews who had professed faith in Him, in verse 30, he says, and he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word,
Then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We don't know, and it's really a blessing that as we walk with the Lord, we are given more and more truth. We are given greater and greater wisdom and understanding, and we learn it by abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ. We learn it by allowing His Word to abide in us. And the blessing of truth is that the truth will what? Make you free. The truth shall make you free. More and more we are set free from the chains that bind us to this world, to our flesh. We are set free from the temptations and that we find ourselves afflicted with, and we draw closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, even if you're new to the Christian life, stay after it. Persevere. Be faithful to God. You'll continue to grow. You'll continue to learn and understand what it means to abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. As you remain and as you abide in Christ, you'll gain confidence and joy and stability and greater communion with the Lord. And you'll delight in God. You know, the truth of it is, when you're young, there's a lot you don't know. And as you grow, you learn and you mature. And I wouldn't want to go back to being a child. Would you? No. A child was rough. It was easy on one hand, but it was rough on the other. I mean, you know, a lot to learn, a lot of difficult lessons. And certainly as an adult, I've learned some difficult lessons. But as a Christian, it's the same way. You grow, right? As the Bible tells us, to grow in grace in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You grow, you mature, and as you abide in the Lord Jesus Christ, you grow in that grace. You must abide in Him. Look again at our text. In chapter 15, verse 7, if, Jesus says, ye abide in Me, if you remain in Me, if you continue in Me, and My words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. As you abide in Christ, you'll come to understand just and more how precious He is. What a great gift salvation is. You know, an infant can hardly understand the precious gift that they've been given, that gift of life. But as you grow older, as you live, as you see people die, as you see others who have maybe had that gift of life taken from them, you begin to understand just how much more precious it is. As a Christian, you might appreciate and be so grateful for what Jesus has done for you in saving your soul from hell. But as you abide in Him, as you get to know Him, as the years pass, He becomes that much more precious. He grows sweeter and dearer and fairer every day. As the book of the Song of Solomon says, it talks about Him being altogether lovely. You get to experience His loveliness, His grace, His mercy, and you grow to love Him even more. But as we come to our text, there's three things I want you to consider tonight. I want us to consider this amazing promise. Ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. As we come to verse 7, the Lord has been warning us that unless we abide in Him, we can do nothing. We cannot bear fruit, and in fact, if you don't abide in Him, you're cast aside. Right? As it says there in verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. There's a certain fear that we should have of not abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ and not being what God has commanded us to be. And someone who persistently abides outside the Lord Jesus Christ while professing faith in Christ has reason to check to see whether or not they are in the faith. What is missing? Because the natural state of a Christian is abiding in Christ, our life being hid in His life. What's interesting is you see he doesn't speak of what they will do for themselves, but rather what God will give them. In verse 7 he says, "Ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." Not really what you'll do for God, but what God will do for you. What a blessing to understand that. He says, ask what you will. God will give you the ability, enable you to do the things He's called you to do. You have to ask. And we have here a promise. What's the promise? Do you see it? You young people see the promise here in verse 7? What's the promise? The promise of successful, the promise of what? What kind of prayers? Successful and powerful prayers. As we embark on 2020, that's what I want us to discover. The secret to successful and powerful praying. Prayer that gets through, prayer that sees answers, that sees God move. Where the only explanation is God did it. There's no other explanation. God did it. He did it. It was done unto us. What a privilege. And I would say that the power we have in prayer is a good gauge of our spiritual condition, of our abiding in Christ. Because this promise rings true. As you abide in Him and the Word of God abides in you, you will have what? You will pray powerful and successful prayers. You will have power in prayer. You will see God move. Now that's humbling. Because I got to say, there's been times in my life, even of recent, where I've not been successful. I've not had power in prayer. So what is the problem? Is it God? Is His hand shortened that it cannot save? Has He drawn His ear back from hearing our prayers? No. I would say that the problem is found here. I've not abided in Him. His Word has not abided and remained in me. So let's consider this promise. Number one, those who abide in Christ, very simply, they pray. They pray. Do you get this? Oftentimes, what we lack is simply even praying. That's humbling, isn't it? We just don't pray. You have not because you what? Ask not. What's missing? You're not even asking. There's not even praying going on, but those who abide in Christ, they pray. Those who stray, who do not abide in Christ, don't pray. It's really an easy binary thing. If you're not praying, you're not abiding in Christ. If you're praying, you are. You want to say, well, Pastor, am I abiding in Christ? How's your prayer life? Jesus said what? If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will. What does that mean? It infers what? You're asking. You're in prayer. You're going to God. You're on your knees. And prayer is an essential part of your Christian life. It's spontaneous. It's as natural as breathing. You ever tried to not breathe? That's tough, isn't it? Or tried to like, it sort of messes with your head a little bit. You're like, you ever thought about breathing? If I think about it, I stop. Isn't it a blessing that God instilled in us the natural ability to breathe? Wait, think about, I mean, maybe some of you, I know some of you can't chew gum and walk at the same time, but thank God that He didn't like leave it up to our intelligence to breathe. He just gave us the gift of breath. Said, He breathed in us the breath of life, and what? We began to breathe. I don't have to think about it, Junior. I don't have to. Okay. In, out, in. I'm going to hyperventilate, do that too much, right? And my friend, as you abide in Christ, prayer becomes natural, and it's like breathing. It's just part of what you do. It's part of who you are. It's the natural outflow of a soul that is in communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as the branch, as it sprouts off the vine, it doesn't think about growing leaves and fruit. It just does, because it's a part of the vine. Those who abide in Christ, honestly, special times of prayer meeting are well and good, but it's not something that you have to schedule. It's a part of your life. You are constant and continual in prayer. If you abide in Christ, you're not going to be complaining. And I sort of complained this morning about, not really complained, but expressed how hard at times prayer is, the work it requires. But it's not a burden. It's you want to do it. You ever had a job where it wasn't a burden, that you just loved it? Like you actually enjoyed going to work every day? I had work like that in the past, where actually you were excited about it. It was not a burden at all. Like you would work extra. I remember a job where I worked over 40 hours a week and they weren't paying me overtime. I just enjoyed it. It wasn't a burden. And that's the type of praying that will happen as you abide in Christ. It won't be a burden. Oh, some of you kids, right? I know in my home, have you had your devotions? Oh, yeah. Why is it a burden? It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be that prayer meeting is the least attended service of most churches. I was reading some church had posted a thing on Facebook about needing a pastor, and they're like, well, we have 150 on Sunday mornings and 70 on Sunday nights and 40 on Wednesday nights. Well, Wednesday night's prayer meeting. Why is that the least attended evening? If the members of that church are abiding in Christ, they'll want to pray. It's a blessing to pray. As we preach this morning, what a ministry to come alongside one another to pray. And as we abide in Christ, it's just who we are. It surrounds us. It's continual. It's constant. You won't find a time where you're not praying. Not a burden. Number two, we will realize the necessity of prayer as we abide. You say, well, Pastor, I thought we have everything in Christ as we abide in Him and His words abide in us. I'll tell you, as you abide in Christ, you'll come to realize just how much more you need Him. You'll become cognizant of how dependent you are on Jesus. As a Christian, you'll realize that without prayer, you've lost your lifeline. Do you imagine floating in space? Some of you look like you are. You know, it used to be before they had all that jet propulsion where, you know, you could put one of those packs on and sort of maneuver. They tethered you, and they still do this today. They'll tether the astronauts to the ship. It's a lifeline, man. You lose that, you're gone. Forever lost. Forever afloat, adrift, without purpose, without direction, without life. When you abide in Christ, you become even more aware of how much you need the Lord Jesus Christ. How much did you need Him this week? And your prayers will reflect that. That's why you're constant in prayer. You're continual in prayer. Because as you get closer to Him, you realize, I need you. Don't leave me. And that's why Jesus said to His disciples, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, because they had come to appreciate how much they needed Him. But when you're not abiding in Him, when you're not drawing every day closer to Him, you'll find your prayer life, you won't be praying, and you won't realize what you're missing. We'll have an urgency of prayer because we'll want to be more like Him. As we seek to abide in Him, we'll desire to obtain from Him, because I know that if I'm going to be anything like the Lord wants me to be, it has to come from Him. He's the source. Right? Go to John chapter 1, verse 16. This constant prayer we draw from Him. You kids, you need to understand how much you need Jesus. See, in adults, you need to understand how much you need Jesus. You need Him at your work. You need Him at your home. We need Him in this church. In chapter 1, verse 16, the Bible says this. It says, "And of His fullness have all we received, and what? Grace for grace." It's through Him, because of Him, we have grace and we have all the blessings that we have. He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, delivered to us by the grace of God. Prayer becomes constant, and prayer becomes, as I described breathing, a necessity to our Christian life, just like breathing is to our physical life. You won't want to stop asking. You'll continually seek His face. The Lord says what? "Seek my face." And you answer, "Lord, I will seek your face." Thirdly, in this amazing promise, you'll see that there's a liberty in prayer as we abide. "Ye shall ask," look at this, "what ye will." Whatever you want. I've said that to my daughter. Whatever you want. Whatever you want. Right? You ever heard someone say, "Whatever you want"? Jesus here is saying, "Whatever you want." Now, we could approach this fleshly. "Well, whatever I want. Oh boy! I'll take a PS5. I know they're not out yet, but I'll take a PS5 and an Xbox 720. Right? And I'll take a this and a that." And... But see, I think the idea here, have you ever been in that place where you didn't feel like you could really ask God your desire? Where you couldn't plead the throne of God, where really it felt like the heavens were as brass, and you're really saying to yourself, "I can't pray. What am I going to say?" To will is present. But how to do it, to have that freedom's not there. The kind of praying that takes place when you abide in Christ is as a man with his friend. It's personal. There's liberty. There's not a, you know, something keeping me from asking. Right? Ask whatever you desire. "Ye shall ask what ye will. Abide in me, and my words abide in you. Ye shall ask what ye will." It's not that you're going to, some people say, "Well, Pastor, I just don't know how to pray. I listen to some people pray, and boy, they're so eloquent, and the these and the thous and the yees and the yous." No. You know, just because your prayers are long doesn't mean you're praying. True prayer is measured not by length, but by weight. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Not the effectual, lengthy prayer, but fervent, effectual prayer. You must abide with God in Christ Jesus. You come boldly before His throne because you stay there at the throne. And you hear the King of Glory say to you, "Ask what you will, and it will be done." You gain this liberty in prayer that, you know what? You're not hindered by your lack of eloquence. You're not hindered by, right, your fear of not getting an answer. You are abiding in Christ, and because of that, you have this boldness to ask what is on your heart. You say, "Well, Pastor, I just got to be more bold." No, you've got to abide in Christ, and His Word has to abide in you. Then you'll have that liberty. You'll have power with God. Let me give you this next thing. We'll have not only liberty in prayer, but more exciting, we'll have answers to prayer. "Ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be" what? "Done unto you. You can't go get it on your own. God's going to say, there are things you need to pray for that is obvious you can't do on your own. I have to do it. And he's looking for us to have that. We are a branch. And a branch simply abides in the vine. And by just the virtue of abiding in the vine, fruit comes. Answers come. You know what your purpose in life is? You have one purpose as a Christian. It is to glorify our God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That is your purpose. The branch's purpose is to bear fruit on behalf of the vine. Now, it's a good reminder at the same time, this is why our prayers will bear fruit. As we abide in the vine, as we remain in Christ, and we'll talk about what that means in a minute, as we remain in Him, as we ask what we will, because we're going to find out that our will and His will becomes one, as we are His, our life is hidden in His. As we pray, as we seek the will of our Father, as we come before the throne of the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ, what do you have? You've got this what? You've got this desire. You've got this fruit that is born. And you have prayers that are answered because God says, you're simply a branch. I'm going to flow through you. I'm going to give you the power and the ability to bear fruit and have answers to prayer. Delight thyself in the Lord, and He shall give thee what? The desires of thine heart. Psalm 37, verse 4. What a blessing. He basically says, here's a blank check. Fill it in. Whatever amount. You say, well, Pastor, I've prayed and I haven't seen these answers to prayer. Maybe God is speaking in a superlative sense. Maybe He doesn't really mean what He says here. Maybe it's just for super Christians. No, it's for you. If you're lacking answers to prayer and success in prayer and power in prayer, it's not God, it's us abiding in Christ and His Word abiding in us. It's there, brothers and sisters. Man, it's right there. You're on the edge. You're on the precipice. What a wonderful, awesome promise. He doesn't give this promise to just anyone. He gives it to His disciples. He doesn't say to all men and women everywhere, ask whatever you want, I'll give it to you. He says to those that He's already shed such grace at to, He says, I'm going to give you this power of prayer. The secret to being a great preacher is not learning to preach great messages, but learning to prevail with God in prayer. Because once you've succeeded in prevailing and having power with God in prayer over the lives and souls of men, God will affect them. God will deal with them. God will enable you to bear fruit. Lastly, and then we'll move on to this other point. We will what? When we get to this place, we will continue in prayer. We will not stop. It's a sort of a virtuous cycle. Because as we abide in Him and we begin to see answers to prayer and we begin to see God do mighty things on our behalf, wouldn't you want more of that? And don't shut that off. Right? And there will be a continuance in it, a prevailing, not just for a week, not just for a month, not just some special occasions, but you possess this power with God as long as you abide in Christ and His words abide in you. And so we ought to read the Bible and memorize the Bible and love the Word of God and love the Lord Jesus Christ with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And God says, I will put my throne at your disposal. Ask what you want. It'll be done unto you. Now, you may be sitting here and saying, well, Pastor, I've tried that. I implore you, get back on your knees and say, Jesus, I must have missed something because I want to take you by faith. Your word says, God, your word says that this can be my prayer life. I want it. Teach me. Show me where I'm failing. Show me where I've come short. Teach me what it means, Lord Jesus, to abide in you. Teach me what it means for your word to abide in me, because I want this power. I want it. The problem is, I don't think some of us want it. We'd rather blame God for our lack of success in prayer. We'd rather blame our situation for a lack of power in prayer rather than really look at ourselves and say, well, I must be missing something. But then we come and how do you appropriate this? Let's talk about what it means to abide in Christ. To abide in Christ, to have His Word abide in us, we take for granted that we are already in Him and we are positionally in God's eyes if you're saved. But here He's speaking to Christians and He says, you must abide in me, and there's a possibility that you're not. So what does it mean? Number one, as we abide in Him, we do so by always trusting Him and Him only. With that same simple faith that brought us to salvation to begin with. We rest alone in Jesus Christ for our salvation. We rest alone in Him. That all that He is, His Godhead, His humanity, His life, His death, His resurrection, His glorification at the right hand of the Father, that we rely solely on Him. He is my hope. Nothing else. Not me, not man, not family, not spouse, not past, not experience. Jesus Christ alone. He is who I rest in. He's my hope of salvation. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is what? Sinking sand. To abide in Christ is to continue in that trust, that simple faith, a continuing faith. Though He slay me, yet will I praise Him, yet will I serve Him, yet I will trust Him. I have nothing else but Jesus Christ. That has to be your heart. Tonight, if you're trusting in anything else but Jesus Christ to find yourself a home in heaven, then you are wrong and mistaken, and you'll be in hell. I need Christ, you need Christ, and to abide in Him is to continue in that simple faith that in Christ alone, He alone has made it happen. He, not me. And that's where a lot of, even in Baptist churches, that's the mistaken belief that the more I do, the better I am, God, the happier God is with me, and the more secure I am in God. That's baloney. You're secure because of Jesus Christ. That simple faith you exercised in Christ placed you in Him positionally. And when God looks at you, you are justified. Your wickedness, your sin is wiped away, and the righteousness of Christ is applied to you. And when God looks at you, He doesn't see your wickedness. He sees the righteousness of His blessed Son shed on your life. And He, Jesus, is an advocate sitting at the right hand of the Father. And when you are attacked and when you are in need, He sits there and He advocates on your behalf and say, he's one of yours, Amen. Father. Amen. I shed my blood for Him. He's covered. Remain in that. Continue in that. You know, well, what if I was a... You know, I'm a number two. How we abide in Him? Well, number two, we must yield ourselves to Him so that we might receive His life, and then His life works through us. See, it's not enough just to trust Him. Right? I can trust to go in a car with my daughter, but I don't want to take my daughter's life. Right? I could trust that she's going to drive, and I could put my faith in her that she's going to get us to the destination. But You got to go beyond that as a Christian. Here's what I mean. Go to Colossians chapter 3. We remain in Him. We abide in Him when we live by Him, for Him, and to Him. He becomes our life. I want you to get this because this is vital. This is really the crux of what it means to abide in Christ. We naturally want to live for ourselves. We naturally want to do and live our own way. You young people, right? What do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be a... But when you are in Christ, it becomes about what He wants you to be, and it becomes about living your life for Him and your life being exchanged for His. Go to Colossians chapter 3. This wonderful truth, he says, for ye are dead. Ye are dead. Now, what does that mean? Devin, give us the Greek for that. What is for ye are dead, all right? What do you think that means? Don't even go that deep, man. You're dead. Thank you. What is something dead? No life. Right? Does a dead person care? Does a dead person live for themselves? Is a dead person, when you're dead, you're not going to care how they dressed you for your funeral. You realize that, right? You're honestly not going to care what people say about you anymore. Think about this idea, for ye are dead. Oh, well, what do you mean I'm dead? As a Christian, you're dead. Did you know that? You did? I'm dead. Now, what does that mean? Look what the rest of the verse says. For ye are dead, and you're what? You there? And your life is hid with Christ in God. Devin, the day you got saved, you died. It was no longer anything about Devin. You became one in Christ. You took the identity that you have, which was Devin, and you assumed a new identity, a follower of Jesus Christ. William, the day you got saved, you died. And your life was hid with Christ in God. To abide in Christ is to understand that concept. If we do not abide in Christ, we simply become withered branches, unable to bear fruit, only fit to be thrown into the fire. We have you have as a Christian no reason for existence but what? That which you find in Christ. Life is meaningless. Look at the world around you. They're trying to find meaning in all kinds of foolishness. Temporal foolishness. They're trying to find meaning for their pathetic, pitiful lives. Right? You got this one young girl, Greta Thunberg, they're taking advantage of her illness, exploiting her for the environment. See how angry she is? Boy, she thinks her life has meaning, and they're telling her life has meaning, but in the end, it has no meaning. It doesn't matter, because you're going to die. She's going to die, like all of us are going to die. And all that she's done, and the foolishness that she's supporting, that, you know, man is going to some way destroy the earth. No, God has the earth. Now, we ought to be good stewards of what God has given us, but how prideful is man? We're going to destroy the earth. You're a fool. He created it. He'll destroy it. Don't worry about it. Pitiful. But that's what people do. They're trying to find meaning. And Christian, you, if you're not careful, if you don't abide in Christ, you're going to attempt to find meaning outside of Christ, and you're going to constantly be coming up empty and realizing that what you pursue and what you seek is vain. It might be money, and you'll go make a bunch of money, and in the end, you'll say, what was it all for? What does it matter? You might gain popularity. You might get the respect of your peers, but in the end, you're going to say, okay, well, what's next? But as a Christian, we come to understand that my life and my desires are meaningless outside of Jesus Christ. He brings meaning. He brings realness. He through Him, we bear fruit. And God has chosen to make us branches, and vines only produce fruit through the branches. The vine displays its fruitfulness through its branches. Get this. Oh, get this. Grab a hold of this. You ready? God made you and I integral to His design. Vine can't do anything on its own except sprout branches, and on the branches, there's fruit. Who's the vine? Jesus. Who's the branches? God said, in my grand plan, I could just make it happen because I'm the God of the universe. But here's how I'm going to work it. I'm going to send my Son, Jesus Christ. I'm going to make everything possible so that people can be right with me through Him. But then I'm going to take these frail, weak creations that I've crafted, these men and these women, and I'm going to make them a part of my grand design and my grand plan, and I'm going to do things for them, and I'm going to show myself powerful through them.
Right.
I'm going to give their pathetic lives meaning.
Right.
If you want meaning, get it from God, not from some crazy environmentalist.
Right.
If you want meaning, get it from God, not some stupid politics.
Right.
If you want meaning, get it from God, not from your bank account, because that means something, because that has weight, not just for the now, but for all of eternity. God said, here's my plan, and I want you to be a part of it. Wow, glory to God. Man, let me abide in Christ. Let me be a branch that bears fruit. That has meaning. I don't want it to be about me anymore. Who cares what I want? Jesus, what do you want from me? What direction do you want my life to go? Who do you want me to serve? What job do you want me to take? Who would you have me to marry? What area would you have me to live in? What church would you have me to attend? Because I don't really want it to be about me. What do you want, Jesus? Do you see what it means to die and to live through Him? Galatians, if you would. There's power in prayer, brothers and sisters. If you will get a hold of this, if I will get a hold of this, Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I'm dead, but I'm alive. What a paradox. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the what? Faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Abide in Him. Don't cease from being dedicated to His glory, to His honor. Forget the dreams of being your own master and defining your own way. Don't be a servant of men, but abide in Christ. Let Jesus be the object, the source, the meaning of your existence. I'm here because of Him. You won't get offended then.
Right?
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you're an idiot. Okay. What does it matter? As long as I'm in Him, as long as I'm abiding in Him, you're probably right. Without Jesus, I am. I'm a mess. The direction of my life would be meaningless, but with Him, I have meaning. Consecrate yourself, dedicate yourself, be in that state of perpetual fellowship and communion with the Lord. And I'll tell you, the answer, what will be the outcome? The outcome is will be such power in prayer that you've never seen before. Dedicate yourself to God. Listen to me, young person. Listen to me, Andrew. Listen to me, Elizabeth. Listen to me, Devin. You're going to go, and oh, what college should I go to, and what work should I do, and what should the direction of my life be? Learn to abide in Christ, to seek His face, to know His will, and then let Jesus show you the way. Your life will have meaning. Oh, who should I marry? What college should I go to? What job should I take? Jesus, you got to show me. I want to glorify You. And you know what? He will. He will direct your path. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The very steps. for he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him in his hand. And that the whole parable is this idea of the vine and the branches. The idea also, I've got to finish up quickly here. Look at verse 2. He says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he does what? Well, pastor, I'm bearing fruit. Should be good enough. No, he says he purgeth it. We're going to do more. He said, well, I thought it was good enough to abide in Christ. Yes. But Jesus says, I'm not satisfied. You know, that old fleshly heart you have, I got to work on it a little more and get you a little closer to me so you can bear even more fruit and be have even more power in prayer and be more successful. You ever had a pruning knife? I wouldn't want to be pruned on. Not pruning scissors. Chop, chop. Okay, I got all my digits. Right? The Lord said, when you get to the vine, I'm going to prune you. He said, well, pastor, I'm feeling the pruning process, man. I'm trying to abide in Christ. I'm trying to follow him. And it just feels like he's putting me through the ringer. It's tough. Chop, chop. Slice, slice. Ouch. Ooh. The purpose is so you can bear more fruit and be more have more power with God. And the attitude we ought to have is, Lord, cut me as deep as you want. I'm not going anywhere. I'm rooted firmly in this vine. Okay, Lord. I'm not going nowhere. We ought to be like my kids were when they were young. They'd grab onto my leg and I'd have to, you know, couldn't shake them off. And that's how we ought to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, I'm not going nowhere. I don't care what you do. I don't care what you put me through. Lord, cut as deep as you want. Where would I go? You have the words of eternal life. Where am I going to go? I'm going to go back to my old ways. I'm going to go back to how I used to live. I'm going to go back to my meaningless existence outside of Christ. No. Continue to cleave to him. Verse 15, verse 3 says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. He is our very life. We still cling, we still cross, we trust, we still depend, because it all comes from him and him alone. So I want to sum it up. To sum it all up, if you want great, splendid power of prayer, you must remain and abide in loving, living, lasting, conscious, practical, remaining union with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you lack that power of prayer, then you need to be on your knees before God saying, Lord, teach me what it means to abide in the vine. Because I want that. You want to memorize a verse? Memorize chapter 15, verse 7, and claim it as a promise of God and say to God, you do whatever it takes to teach me what it means to abide in Christ and the Word of God abide in me. The last point is this. We abide in Him. You got what it means to abide in Him? You're dead. Your life is hid in Christ. It's not about you anymore. It's about seeking His glory and His favor. You get what it means to abide in Him? You boys get it? Yes? No? Get it? You get it, Will? Do I need to go over it again? I'll run right through it again. You need me to run through it again? What does it mean to abide in Christ? Nope. What's it mean to abide in Christ? Someone tell me. You're not getting it. To abide in Christ means to what? I am dead. It's not about what I want. It's about what Jesus wants. I want to live the life He wants me to live. You got it now? So what's it mean to abide in Him? Amen. It's not about what Will wants anymore. Jesus, what do you want? Will wants to go in the military. Jesus, what do you want? Andrew wants to go be a computer scientist. Lord, what do you want? Okay, Lord, well, yeah, that sounds like you and I are, you know, I'm in alignment with you. Okay, I'll go that way. Lord, what do you want next? Do you get it? You guys got it? You got it, Elizabeth? What does it mean to abide in him? Yeah, it's about, and it's having that heart attitude. You draw meaning and existence, and right, it's meaningful. Your life is meaningful because of what you've got in Christ. The last thing is that his word has to what? Abide in us. Quickly. His word must abide in us. This is key. Abide in me, and I will what? Abide in you. Abide in me, and I in you. Are the words of Christ and Christ one and the same? Yes. There are many people who talk about Christ being their master, but are not so careful to follow his word. Follow me. You say, well, my heart is pure towards Christ. I can live however I choose. No, you cannot separate Christ from his word. He is the word. Later on, look at verse number 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall what? Abide in my love. Even as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. The Word of God has to be your source. The Word of God has to be your rule, your text. You have to obey his commandments or he will not accept you as disciples. You can't say I love God and not be obedient to his word. It's incompatible. Now here, you can't say that he is my master, that he is my Lord, that I'm following him and not do what he teaches. We must love God. We must love our brothers, our sisters. We must love those around us. There's not to be anger and hatred. We must walk as he walked. If his words don't abide in us, both in not just what you believe, but how you live, then guess what? His words don't abide in you. They have to be integral to your life. The words of Christ and Christ himself are one. If you will not obey Christ and his words, you can't be his disciple. You're not going to abide in him. You will not have power of prayer. You'll be that withered branch. How is it possible? It's possible because when we get to that place where we're abiding in Christ and we're no longer about ourselves, but rather we're seeking his glory and his will at all times, and his word is abiding in us, and we're living it, and this is our guidebook and our rule book, and right, it's a part of our life. It's not just something we pick up on Sunday morning, but it drives every decision I make comes from this book. I evaluate every thought I have by this book. Then you'll see the fullness of God. The presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your life will be about him. The branch gets all that it needs when it abides in the vine. It gets all that it wishes because it's in the vine. Think about this. Is there anything you need that the vine can't give you? That's what it means about the fullness of God, the fullness of Christ. When you're abiding in Christ, his words are abiding in you, listen to this, guys. There will be nothing you want that can't be found in Christ. Well, Pastor, you know, I'm dealing with, you know, loneliness. I'm dealing with discouragement. I'm dealing with, you know, I wish I had this. I wish I had that. Guess what? You'll find it in Christ if you abide in him. I'm not being cute. Get what I'm saying. You will find everything you need in Christ. And if Christ wants you to have companionship. Christ wants you to be to find encouragement through something. He'll provide it because it'll be found in Him. And if He doesn't provide it, then guess what? I'm abiding in Him. His Word's abiding in me. I've asked Him for it. But I need to align my will with His will. Okay, well, Lord, what do You want? And then not only that, but as His Word abides in us, we come to appreciate the richness and the fullness of the promises of God's Word. We begin to believe in the promises of God. Prayer is utilizing the promise. Prayer is taking the promise to the throne room and saying, "Thus saith the Lord, Lord, You said it. Now do. By the grace of Jesus Christ, do." And then we'll find a dwelling of the Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit given to us at salvation will have the fullness of the Spirit of God assisting us as we pray, praying for us when we can't pray, and to pray for us as we ought. Power in prayer. Power in prayer. If we lack it, John 15:7. If we lack it, the answer is in John 15:7. I must not be abiding in Christ. His Word must not be abiding in me. Lord, seek out all the falseness. Root out the hypocrisy. Show me where my life is not hid in Christ. Show me. Show me where I'm seeking my own will. That ought to be your prayer. It shouldn't be an instinctive, well, God, you know, Lord, there must be something false with me. I believe You. I believe He said, "You shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you." I believe this, Lord. So what's missing? Help me to see it by Your grace, by Your mercy. Show me. Show me. Young person, I implore you. Hide your life in Christ. Make Him your life. The prayer ought to be, "Jesus, I'm Yours. My life is fully Yours. Every part of it, every desire, every plan is Yours. I don't want to take another step unless I know it's Your will." And these devotions we're doing, you hearing me, Devin? These devotions we're doing, Junior? You need to learn that habit of getting into the Word of God and abiding in the Word of God. If you're having devotions without your Bible, you're not doing it right. I told my kids that this morning. They got their devotion books out and just read them. I said, if your Bible's not out and you're not reading the Scripture, you're missing. His Word needs to abide in us. Power in prayer. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, if you would. What an amazing promise. Oh, that we would embrace it, that we would appropriate it, that we would practice it. Abide in Christ. His Word abides in us. That's the answer. It's not easy. Our flesh is going to fight you every way. That's why you got to put it to death. Mortify the deeds of the flesh. So you're dead. Don't let the devil lie to you, kids. Make your life about the Lord. Take His life. Give Him yours. Bless now this invitation, I pray. Lord, I pray that Faith Baptist Church, the members of this church, would grab a hold of what it means to have power in prayer. But I would grab a hold of it, Lord. I need to learn. Sometimes I feel so weak and beggarly in my prayers, Lord. Lord, I want to see a successful prayer life, a powerful prayer life. Work, I pray. In Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if the Lord has spoken to you, I'd ask you now to respond to Him.
you're not saved today, if you're not certain that if you stood before the throne of God, that He would say to you, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," but rather He might say to you, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Today, tonight is the night of salvation. Tonight is the night you need to come before the Lord Jesus Christ and say, "I need you to save me. I don't want my way anymore. I don't want my sin anymore. I want Jesus." And call upon Him to save you. Tonight is the night, young person, adult. Do you know Him? Are you certain heaven to be your home? Let's sing number 26, first and last tonight. Abide with me, fast falls the eventide, the darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, oh, abide with me. Sing it out now.
Abide with me, fast falls the eventide, the darkest deepens, Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, oh, abide with me.
On the last,
hold thou thy cross before my closing eyes. Shine through the gloom and point me to the skies. Heaven's morning breaks and earth's faint shadows flee. In life and death, O Lord, abide with me.
All right. Well, good to have you tonight. I hope that you'll consider the message, that you'll be excited about what 2020 holds. And the message tonight, I didn't want it to be a discouraging thing, but rather something you can grab a hold of and say, here's the path.
Amen.
Here's the path. You young people, listen to Pastor. You say, "Well, Pastor, I'm just a 6-7-year-old boy, 8-year-old boy. I'm just a 12-year-old boy. What can..." Oh.
Amen.
Oh, boy, what God can do.
That's right.
You know, God don't put an age limit on great answers to prayer.
Amen.
Some of the greatest revivals that our world has ever seen came from the prayers of young people meeting together and
Amen.
Praying together and seeking God together.
Amen.
Don't let the world tell you. Mm-hmm. It don't matter that you need to do this to be counted worthy. Mm. Abide in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
I love you young people.
Amen.
All right? Serve the Lord. That's my joy. Amen. And I'm looking forward to the day where I can point to say, you know, that young man over there, he was in our church and God blessed him and now he's a preacher. And
Amen.
Look at that young lady over there. She's raising a family for God. And look at those young people that she's raising. And whoa, what a blessing. And look at that young man over there. He's a missionary and people are coming to know Christ and churches are being started.
Amen.
That's what I see.
Amen.
That's what I see for your children, parents, grandparents.
and get the same vision. Amen? Don't just look for good kids. Raise godly kids. And I'll tell you, it's not going to be youth ministry. It's not going to be programs and plans and goofiness. You know what's going to raise up a generation of young people to serve God? Prayer. Prayer. We have a ministry of prayer right here in this church that you can be doing. We need to get after it. But we need to find power in prayer. We need to learn how to pray. Pray through. All right. Well, Lord bless you. Just a couple announcements. Wednesday, is there a soul winning time on Wednesday? Going to try to go 10:30 on Wednesday or 10? Okay. So if you want to do some soul winning on Wednesday, see Brother DJ. He'll get you the time. Sunday or Wednesday night, we'll meet at 7. Coming up on the 19th, Brother Nathan Miller will be preaching morning and night. I'm going to be down in Astoria helping being a blessing to Brother Kevin. He's going to be out of town, so I told him I'd take his church, do his singing, and just try to be a blessing. Mom and Dad are actually leaving for a month, so they're going to be going to Indiana and Ohio and Illinois. But little baby Nolan, Lord willing, will be born here in about a week. That's my brother and sister-in-law's unborn baby. So pray for them, and they're leaving on Tuesday, and they'll be back the beginning of February. So pray for them as they travel.